Good morning, everyone. Beautiful morning out there. I personally am always happy as we move towards spring. Appreciate that time of year. It's coinciding with our study on the tabernacle and the Christian, where we're at, where we're talking about the feasts of the tabernacle temple system, the seven particular days other than the regular Sabbath day that were called through the law to be holy convocations, terminology in New American Standard, Kadash Mikra, or Kodesh Mikra. And these were the days that the Israelites were commanded to observe certain things. So having gone through the tabernacle and the Christian, and again last week we had Brother Steve Compton down here, and he tied in the eternal purpose in reference to the unleavened loaves of bread that were part of the tabernacle temple system, and did what I thought was a pretty good lesson there for us. I thought dovetailed nicely with what we've been talking about. But in reference to tabernacle and the Christian, everything in the tabernacle system and the temple system, but we're looking at the tabernacle because that's the way God introduced it, portable, movable system, which should make sense about who you are, as a tabernacle, temple of God now in the Spirit. Having gone through all that, it's important that we understand, what are all these feasts about? Why did God set them up? You know, what are we trying to learn from this? And so we've gone through a few of them. We started with the Day of Atonement. We started out of order because the Day of Atonement was a key thing that had to do with the duties of the high priest, which we had talked about all the aspects of the priesthood in our previous studies on the tabernacle and the Christian. So we dealt with the Day of Atonement, but that actually fell in the seventh month of Tishri. I think that was also called Ethanim prior to the Babylonian captivity. After they came out, that month was referred to as Tishri. But so we went out of order. I was originally going to go in order, but because we're doing the high priest thing, we did the Day of Atonement and went through all that. And then we've gone back now, and we've looked at Passover, which would fall in the first month of their year, which was called Abib, again, prior to the Babylonian captivity. When it came back, it was known as Nisan. Okay? So in any case, we've been looking at these feasts. Passover was tied very closely to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You'd have Passover, boom, Feast of Unleavened Bread would start right on its heels for a seven-day period. And we've gone through the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for pretty much everything I wanted to make sure that we brought forth for you guys. But there was one thing that I thought would be an opportunity before we move on to the Feast of Weeks, which is the fourth feast in the sacred calendar, and this really is all part of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Day of First Fruits, or the Presentation of the First Fruit, which also was an important day under the law system, and that was the day that the first barley sheaf would be weighed before the Lord, presented before the Lord, as the first of the first fruits. And we talked about how Jesus was crucified on Passover. He came out of the tomb and rose on the day that the Israelites would have celebrated under the tabernacle temple system, the Day of First Fruits. Okay, so, and that was the first day during the week of unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It would be the first day that followed the regular Sabbath, the regular seventh day. Okay, so we need to understand that because that's exactly the way that it happened in Christ's life. He fulfilled the Passover and Lamb aspect, the blood that would be applied to the individual houses, right, so that the angel of death would pass over. And then he also was the fulfillment of the first fruits that would be offered, waved, is how it was spoken in the Old Testament law, be presented up and waved before God. So it was the first thing that was raised up before God, and that was called the Day of First Fruits, or the Feast of First Fruits. And again, it was the first day following the regular Sabbath in the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The regular Sabbath began on Friday night at sundown, ended at Saturday night at sundown. So the next day after that would be what day in our calendar week? Come on, this isn't tough. Say it. Come on, say it.
Sunday.
Thank you. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get you fired up a little bit today, guys. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm looking out and you all look a little sluggish to me. So we're going to get you fired up. But in any case, it's a Sunday. So Christ rose on the first day of the week. Amen?
Amen.
Not the seventh, first day. He rose. That matched that feast that had to do, the feast of first fruits, that day of first fruits, as was practiced under the law during the week of unleavened bread. Jesus was crucified on Passover, according to the gospel accounts. Brought down, laid in the tomb. All right? And then he arose on the first day of the week. Now, some people get a little confused about some things. So I want us to turn to the Gospel of John. Just take a look at something real quick. We're going to go to John 19. And this could be a question that's going to be posed to you because, see, okay, Christ was crucified on Passover. Some people are going to read this section of Scripture that we're going to read, and they're going to give you an, well, let's just read it, and I'll tell you what they say, okay, rather than me trying to. So this is just something I think will help you answer a question that people will have sometimes about, was Jesus crucified on a Friday, like most people believe? They call it Good Friday, right? Let's just show you what they usually will tell you is evidence that he was crucified on a Friday. All right? John 19. Jesus had just given up his spirit in verse 30. 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Okay, the soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other man who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Now, you see, it says high day there. Now, you guys remember, I showed you how the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is tied very closely together, both in the Old and the New Testament. You guys remember that? How I actually showed that it would be counted like one. You guys remember that? Okay. So they say this is a high day. So Jesus was crucified on the Passover, and then it's called also the day of preparation here. And then there's a high day, okay, that's spoken of, but it's also speaking of the day that follows, because the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was one of those seven Sabbath type days, a rest day, a kadosh mikra, a day where no work was to be done. So a lot of people reading this, they say, see, there was going to be a high day there and follow, and then Jesus is going to come out of the tomb on Sunday. So he was crucified on Friday. He was in Saturday, came out on the first day of the week, Sunday. And they say, so he's crucified on Friday. Now, maybe I'm not making a lot of sense to you, but I'm telling you how people think. See? So they think because the Sabbath is coming. The Sabbath is coming. What are they thinking? Saturday. So he must have been crucified on Friday. That's not necessarily the case. Because the beginning, you'd have Passover, that would be a high day, one of those days in the calendar of the Jewish system, right? The next day was the day where there was no work to be done. That would be a high day, a Sabbath day, where there was no work to be done. That'd be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, because of the calendar rotating and stuff, remember, every sixth year, they'd have to add that extra month in there. Vader. Not Darth. Vader. Okay? And that would make up for the way that the lunar cycle that they followed would get off because of the rotation of the year was actually 365 days, right? Not 354. And so they would have to make that month stick in there so it would catch up and get everything back on lunar cycles. So every 6 years or so, it would be off. I mean, the day would be moving, see? And I just want you to understand this, because it would be possible then that you could have Passover, followed by the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Are you with me? So you'd have Passover, high day. It's going to be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day, high day.
And that's on a Saturday.
Pardon me?
And that's on
a
Saturday.
No, it could be on a Friday. Okay? It could be on a Friday. And then you'd have your regular Sabbath. That could happen. Are you following?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. All right. 14th of Nisan, 14th of Abib, Passover. Okay? That's what it says. Exodus 23, Exodus 34, Leviticus 23, Numbers 26 or 28, Deuteronomy 16. Okay? I'll come to you in a minute, Dave. That's Passover. Immediately at the end of Passover, that evening, a new day starts, right? Sunset. The sunset is the dating in the Israelite understanding. Do you guys remember that? Okay. Passover ends. Night comes. What day is it in the Israelite mind? 15th of Nisan, right? 14th is when they do Passover. 15th of Nisan is also what day under the feast system? First day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We covered the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first and the seventh day were holy convocations. Mikrash Kodesh, right? Kodesh Mikrash, okay? Convocations. No work is to be done. What was indicative of the Sabbath under the law? Thank you. So they were like a Sabbath, correct? Are you with me now? Okay? So, now, this calendar system, they would do 29 or 30 days typically in their calendar. Alright? And then because it would get off, because of the rotation of a year being 365 days, you can go back and do their calendar and figure it out, it's about 354 days in that area. Every 6 years they would throw in this extra month called Vader.
Every 6 years?
About. Every 6 to 7 years. And yes, you can go back and check that out historically. So there would be in this extra month thrown in. Right? Because everything's by dates. Nisan 14th, Passover. Nisan 15th to 21st, we looked at it. Feast of Unleavened Bread. First day, last day of that feast. Holy convocations. Sabbath days. High days. No work. Are we all together again? Again, I'm just going slow so that we can break this down, what I'm talking about. Okay? Now, because they would throw in this extra month every 6 years or so, alright? That's typically when it would happen. It had to do with lunar cycles, brother. Okay? Now you have this extra month, so everything would be shifted. You had these nice, clean 29, 30 day months, and you'd be able to say, okay, it's always going to fall on this day, and this day will be this day, and this day. You could kind of track most years and say the 14th of Nisan will be on this day of the week. Because we have a 365 day year, okay, they call it a solar year. What we celebrate as Passover from year to year is constantly moving, correct? It's not the same date every year, is it? It's the same date, but the day, and it might be earlier, might be later. How many know what time it is this year without looking in their phones? Okay, it's because we don't practice Passover, brethren. We don't. But we do celebrate Resurrection Day. Unfortunately, Satan's been effective at getting that renamed the name of an ancient pagan fertility goddess called Wester, Ishtar, Asherah, Easter. So that's what they call it now. And the great, one of the great days in God's historical plan is now called by an idolatrous pagan name among, quote, the Christian, unquote, community. Sad. You want to see a bad translation? Read King James chapter 12, book of Acts, verse 4. They actually put in Easter in there, where the word in Greek is Pascha for Passover. It's actually there. They call it Easter. That's how I know that authorized version isn't authorized by God. Alright? Now you think I'm joking. Just showing you how tradition creeps in. There are people that if you pull out the New American Standard, you're going to read from it in some of the congregations that are out there in this country. That's a bad translation. You know, and they'll start really, I'm being dead serious here. And I just say, well, why don't we go to your King James, open to Acts chapter 12. Let's look at verse 4. Well, what does that say? Well, yeah, Easter, really. Is that what it says? Well, yeah. Well, let's go to the Greek. All translations have human bias in a small percentage at least. All right? I'll give you an example in the New American Standard. Romans 12, 1. Okay, and 2. Just read that. The actual literal in the Greek is, this is your reasonable service. They add of worship. Of worship. That's not there in the Greek. The word for worship in the Greek is proskuneo. The word for service in the Greek is latreia. It says latreia. It doesn't say proskuneo. It is your reasonable work of service, not of worship. What is it? That's somebody's bias, what they think it should say, not what it actually says. Okay, now back to Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. We took a nice little detour, didn't we? Just talking about some various things. Okay, so there could be a change in dates and days of the week where this could be celebrated. Are you with me now? Do you understand what I'm talking about with that added month, how it would move days and dates into different times of the week, just like it does in ours? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Is it all clear? I'm not trying to be talked down to you guys. I'm just trying to be thorough and communicate this.
So you have the three Sabbaths in a row.
Yes, you could. It's very possible. That's my point. You could have the Passover, which they had to do the work of preparing the lamb. So technically, that really wasn't a holy convocation. Although, if you read the law, that's the day. Under the law, they were supposed to present themselves before God. You can go back and read that. Exodus 23:34, Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16. You can go and check that stuff out. Do not take anybody's word, including mine, when I'm saying this stuff. Check it out. Alright? But, they would have to present themselves where God said they were supposed to. And so they would partake of this lamb, right? When that's done, nightfall comes, boom, 15th of Nisan. That is a holy convocation. A day where no work is to be done. It is akin to a Sabbath, but now it's a special day because it's part of a feast. So they would be referred to among the Israelite people as a high day. So some people say when it's talking about the preparation day, they believe that's talking about the Sabbath here in John 19, the regular Sabbath. So they say, see, there's proof. Jesus was crucified on a Friday. That's not necessarily so. That's all I'm trying to prove to you guys. Do you see that now? Does this make sense now? That help, Larry?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody when I'm doing this.
Just make sure. I'm still a little confused. I'm sorry. First of all, I'm thankful I don't have to follow all this. Like, that's awesome. So what you're saying then is in John 19:31, when it says that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, you're not saying that it was necessarily a Saturday, but that it was a high day according to the feastesses, so that it could be a Saturday, a Tuesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Wednesday, or a Monday. Doesn't matter.
Because it was going to be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right. Directly after Passover. Okay.
That's why they had to come down off the cross before it was dark.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Okay. And I'll come back. Larry.
Just so I'm following right, because I thought I had it. The day in preparation was the day before the Sabbath, and then the day after that was this special day, right?
Here in John 19. The day of preparation is when we prepare the Passover, partake of that, and then the day that started at sundown would be the high day, the first day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right, and then the special day was the next day, right?
The first day would have been that night when it started, at the end of Passover, when sundowns happened. It went from the 14th of Nisan. If you go back and read the Passover, it would become the 15th. That's the high day.
Right. So it's the day after.
Yeah, it's the day after when Jesus was on the cross. Does that work?
It's the day after what? It's the day, yes.
Obviously, I'm not doing a good job. And it's on me.
The special day is the 15th, so it has to be the following day.
Not following the 14th.
Yes, okay. That's correct. That's correct. That's right. I'm with you now. Okay.
15 follows 14.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So the 14th was the day of preparation where they would prepare the... If you go back and read, they were supposed to prepare the Passover lamb.
Right.
You guys with me on that? Go back and read this. Exodus 12 in particular. All right? So it's a day of preparation. They had to get Jesus down off the cross before nightfall, and he did come down off the cross before nightfall and into the tomb, right? Right? Okay. Part of one day. Amen? Okay. So, yes, the 15th is the day following Passover, first day, high day.
Okay. Thank you.
David, you had something earlier.
To make it in comparison, in our time now, like Easter falls the same day of the week every year, where in that time, if you would compare it to be like Valentine's, it's on the 14th of the month. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. So with that aspect, then you'd have Passover, then you'd have your Sabbath, the high day, then you'd have the regular Sabbath, then you'd have the first day of the week in this instance.
You could have back-to-back Sabbaths. That's my point. Now, actually, what they call Easter today is actually the resurrection, which would be the day of first fruits. So, Mr. Taylor, we'll come back to you.
No touching or kissing. Everybody's sick in my household. It's okay.
How come you're not going unclean, unclean?
Yeah. I'm going to throw a wrench. The lunar calendar, which is different than the solar calendar, being the Gregorian calendar, like you said, they had to be an adjustment. But I find it interesting that the lunar calendar takes 33 years for it to catch up to the Gregorian calendar. And if you're into time, dates, and places and all that, go back to Daniel 7 about the king who's going to make an alteration in times and about how his kingdom is going to be obliviated. And that also, that his kingdom, once it's destroyed, this time period will be a time, times, and half a times. So I think it's interesting that a lot of people still place importance on days, and there are those kind of people, and then there are people that, as described in Romans, they don't consider the day any higher than the other day. And so the real important thing for the present kingdom people is this day, which is a cycle that was foreshadowed, what you're explaining in the Old Testament with the showbread. I really contaminated that microphone there. But anyway, that I think is very, very important to understand that the two Sabbaths can align together based on a lunar calendar. And that's where a lot of that fail comes in, is everyone's trying to prove it with the Gregorian calendar, which is a solar calendar. That's all I had to say.
That's correct. That's correct. That was my point. So all I was trying to prove here is how people will read that, think it's talking about the Sabbath day, regular Sabbath, and not understand that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is considered a high day.
Okay, so just to make sure, to put, because I'm a numbers guy and I like this, so... John chapter 19, verse 14. So now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. So it was the day before Passover, which would have been Nisan 13. Correct?
They would find the lamb. It'd be in the house for 4 days. They'd prepare it on the 14th of Nisan.
Okay. So...
Right. It would be prepared. But yes, that whole 4 days is it's in the house. They're preparing to do the lamb.
So then...
It would be the 13th, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm trying to piece together with Passover being the 14th,
yes.
The day of preparation for the Passover, that's the 14th or the 13th?
You asking me my opinion on this?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did they prepare the Passover?
I have no idea anymore.
Okay, you have to, that's right, that's right. Okay, I'm doing a good job of showing you guys how easily you can be confused. Okay? Okay, when I read that, and remember, we think chronologically, and I think Mark just made a great point, we're locked in the way we understand time, and we're not looking at what the Scripture says about these things. So if you go back to Exodus 12, when were they preparing the land? It looks like all these things are, you know, happening over periods of days. What I'm saying is the key day that's being spoken of typically there is the day they would prepare the Passover lamb. Now, some people think that Jesus ate the Passover early.
Okay, so let's stop back to Exodus 12.
I'm not saying he did that, by the way.
Okay, so let's go back to Exodus 12 for just a second. So, I understand the concept that you're getting at, but I want to make sure I pin it down. So on Exodus 12, when you say they're preparing the Passover lamb, does that mean the shedding of the blood and the doorposts and the lentils?
Everything involved with it.
Okay, well, that took place over more than one day, didn't it?
No. If you go and you take a look, and again, that's why I have to go back and read Exodus 12. They would get the lamb. Yes, it would take 4 days. They would get the lamb, bring it into the house, go through the whole process, and then do the blood deal.
On the day, they would act. Okay.
So primary prep.
For several days before that.
Yes.
Okay. And then when they actually sacrificed the lamb itself, they would cut the throat, take the blood, do the doorpost, then go into the house and eat the lamb.
14.
Okay. So that is or is not the day of preparation?
It is the day of preparation as the Scripture would describe the events that go on with the actual slaughtering the lamb, preparing and eating it. That would be the day of preparation.
Okay. So then in John chapter 19:14, then, when it says it is the day of preparation for the Passover, it is that day.
It is the day of Passover when the lamb was sacrificed and they go into the house and they eat.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
See, we read it and think he's talking about the day before, but it's all in that time frame. That's why I say it's important to know Exodus 12. Now, I had kind of gone through this previously. I obviously should have gone through it a little bit more thoroughly. I don't blame you guys. I blame me when we have this misunderstanding that I didn't do a good enough job. But that's why we went back to Exodus 12. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, brethren, there are people that are going to disagree with what I just said. Okay, I'm not going to tell you that this is universally accepted. I can tell you that. What I am telling you is you have to go to the Scripture and let it define things, which Jared did a great job of walking me through that, saying, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? But go back and look at the account in Exodus 12. It all happened on that day. The preparation stuff that God talked about. That's what you want to focus on. Not what we would think, well, we're getting the lamb, got to get this ready, like the night before a big dinner that we're going to have at our house. You know, the wife's preparing, right? That's the way we think. You know, but some days isn't the wife preparing earlier in the day to do all that stuff too? On the same day? Okay, Mike, did you have a question? That's something. Oh, Dave.
I don't know if it'll help or make more confusion, but you did make the statement too that the day is from sundown till sundown. So as they're doing the preparation, it would start after sundown.
That's what I'm saying. It could, but it's all the day of the 14th is my point. Brett. Hang on.
Could you possibly make a little bit of a book or something on this and, you know, a little study guide?
I suppose I could.
That'd be cool.
I'll see what I can do. No time frame guarantee. Okay? But I'll do what I can. So again, this is, okay.
Just as I'm big into using things to remember. So what day was that again? What day of the month would it have been?
Okay, it was supposed to, the day of preparation and the offering of the Passover lamb would be 14th of Nisan, which would start the night before.
What verse is this in John chapter 19?
That we're looking at? We're looking at, I started with 31, but you're looking at 14.
Which is the day of prayer.
Right.
So if you ever have a problem remembering what day of the month it was the 14th. It's the same number as the verse. Because it will help me remember. It will help me remember, honestly.
I am not worthy. I am not worthy. That's very good, Jared. I like that. But again, so brethren, we got to get out of our way of thinking about days and, you know, and start looking at things from the scriptural standpoint. This is something that I think we've tried to work on over the years. So we understand how things are happening. And I try and, You know, in our groups class that we do on Wednesday night, I try and take my class that I've had the privilege of doing, and we look at these verses we're looking at, and I always take my class and I say, now put yourself in the Jewish mindset and look at what's going on now from the perspective of a Jew. And think about the things that Jesus is saying as a Jew in the current circumstances, and then the stuff makes more sense. It just really does. You'll start to see why they responded the way they did, everything. So the Passover day began on the 14th of Nisan. But that would start at sunset the previous night the way we think. Let's say today is the 14th of Nisan. Let's just throw it out, okay? Just to get this in your head. That day, right now, the 14th of Nisan, would have actually started last night at sundown. So we got all that time until sundown tonight, and then the 14th is over. Does that help? That's why I've told you, when you go by the Jewish synagogues, and we don't have many in this town, I think one, I know of maybe two, you will notice on Friday night, in the winter, there's cars in that parking lot, 5:30, 6 o'clock. One of them is on Broadwater, about the 2,100 block of Broadwater, 2,100. There'll be cars in that parking lot. We went by there the other night, I think it was this past Friday, and I looked over, no cars in the parking lot. It's about just before 7 o'clock, sun's still up. They're not there yet, because the, quote, Sabbath, unquote, has not started until sundown. We attended Cedar Meals many years ago that they participate in. We always had to show up in the dark. That's when their Sabbath began. Okay? So that was my first introduction. I was young at that point, 20-some years old, and I didn't know any of this. And I'm watching this go down. I'm going, Sabbath I thought was Saturday. Why are they doing this Friday night? Because it was Saturday to them. Amen? Okay, so dating. Day of preparation started the night before, in our way of thinking. Okay? So some people think Jesus partook of the Passover early. I just want you to think about that, knowing that it starts at night, after the sun goes down, until the following day when the sun goes down. And go back and reread the gospel accounts. And just pay close attention. See what you come up with. Okay? I got all you guys' attention now, don't I? You're all like, what's he going to say next? I'm so confused. And that's not what I intended. I just wanted to show you that some people will read this and think that what's going on is it's talking about the regular Sabbath, but it's actually talking about the first day of the feast, which would be considered a high day in the mind of the Israelite. So you could have Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. That would be like a Sabbath, no work. The very next day could be the regular Sabbath. No work, right? And then the day after would be the first day of the week. And up from the grave he arose. Right? So remember I said he came down off the cross into the tomb before it was dark. And I said part of one day. Right? You guys all heard me, I hope. Okay, 3 days, 3 nights. Jesus went in the tomb first day before dark. So he went in that day, right? So that's one day. In there on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the second day. Regular Sabbath day, 3 days. Pops up out of the grave. And if you read John and the other Gospels, he was gone before the sun came up, okay, on the Lord's day. So 3 days, 3 nights. So if he went in on a Thursday, day, first night, Friday, second day, second night, Saturday, third day, third night, Sunday morning, before the sun comes up, out he comes. 3 days, 3 nights. Not 3 nights, 4 days. 3 days, 3 nights. You guys see that? In the Jewish mind, that's the way they'd be thinking. So that's why it's interesting to me that John's account shows, I think it's John's account if I remember correctly, that he was up and out of that tomb before the sun came up. Now, they did count days by sunlight and night by darkness. Okay? Did you guys ever notice that little fact there? 3 days and 3 nights the Son of Man shall be in the belly of the earth. No sign shall be given you. But the sign of Jonah, 3 days, three nights. If he'd have come out, you got to think like a Jew. If he'd have come out Sunday morning after the sun was up, wouldn't that be 4 days and three nights in the mind of the Jew? I want you guys to think about the. I challenge you to think about things, and some of you are like, what difference does this make? I'm telling you, this is how precise God gets this stuff done. Because he is looking ahead, knowing what the Jewish people are going to think, and he goes, I'll do this and show them. So pay attention to these little details. It's kind of cool stuff for you guys. Pardon me? That's correct. Although you're going to have Jeremiah will tell you. I'm not going to go there. Jeremiah likes to quote one verse about laboring and up early to labor. Okay. Sometimes I say to myself, why did I do this?
I'm trying to be helpful. I honestly am. So how do we know what time it is right now?
How do we know what
time? Yeah, no. I'm serious. Like, if I were to ask you what time it is, what would you do?
Well, by our way of understanding.
You'd go, look at your watch, you'd look at your cell phone, you look at the clock on the wall. Now pull all that stuff out and ask somebody, you know, put yourself in the mind of somebody 2,000 years ago and say, well, what time is it? Well, that kind of look up their sundial and their wrist.
They would go by watches. And,
yeah, not wristwatches, but...
They go by third hour.
Right, and hour, because hour, what, where would it, essentially what they would start with was where the sun would come up. Mm-hmm. And then from there they'd be able to count. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of things to keep in mind. For one thing, Billings, Montana, we have really strange weather, daylight and darkness patterns during the seasons because we're 3,200 miles from the equator. Jerusalem is 1,000 miles closer to the equator than we are. So, to a certain extent, their time frames in their days would have been more stable than ours. So it's not like they would have, you know, during the winter, five hours of sunlight and 19 hours of darkness. They would have had more consistent days, days and nights. So, this begins to make more sense why they would calculate a day beginning and ending based upon when the sun rose or set. So, as you start to think about it that way, instead of, what time is midnight? It's just an arbitrary number that we put on a day so that we can have business start the next day. But in the mind of the Jew and of anybody living in that time frame, the day started and or ended depending upon when the sun went up or the sun went down. So, yeah, I'm just trying to be helpful.
No, you did. And I actually talked about how, you know, if you're in Hawaii, you have that there basically, or where we go in Mexico, when we've had the opportunity to go on trips down there through work, my work, the days are very even. They're usually about 11, 12 hours of daylight, maybe 12, 13 hours of darkness, which is because they're closer to the equator. More consistent days, less variance. Okay, so I spent a great deal of my class this morning talking about trying to prove to you how people will figure time and say that Jesus must have went into the tomb on Friday. So, you know, I don't know, maybe that was a bit of an exercise in futility this morning. Maybe, I don't know. But there's the other thing you have to be aware of is some people hold the position that the days of the year and the days of the week would be consistent every year with the Passover. There are those that hold that, and that's why I told you about that extra month, how it would cause a hiccup. No, it wouldn't work that way every 6 years. It would actually cause days and dates to move. So, again, it's just something for you guys to consider, because there's different ideas out there, and I'm just trying to get you guys to, you know, to think a little bit, you know, not just, you know, sleepwalk through your Christianity, so to speak. I'm trying to get you to pay attention to some of the things that are in the Scripture, that you can answer questions in your own mind if you go back and then just diligently step by step break this stuff down and get all the information. It's just a good way of teaching you how to study a subject. So hopefully this is beneficial. Like I said, I'm a little fearful it was kind of a discussion that wasn't very fruitful. So, but I wanted to go there, so that one's on me. Feast of Unleavened Bread, so that's done. The next feast would be the Feast of Weeks. That would be, they would count 7 Sabbaths, okay, from when the sheaf of first fruits was offered. The day that Jesus rose. 7 Sabbaths from that day. And then the day after that, the 50th day, would be what is called in the New Testament Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest, it's also called in some passages in the Old Testament, and the Day of First Fruits in other passages, Book of Numbers and Exodus 34. Okay, so you notice that that is tying the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruit, or the Day of First Fruits, where they would wave that barley, and now the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of First Fruits. Tying those together, isn't it? It's all about the harvest. So you have the first harvest, the barley. Second harvest is the wheat. And that happens in the month of Sivan. Okay? I think it's Ziv in the old calendar, if I remember right. And that would usually fall between May and June sometime. So we're coming up on what would be the Passover time under the Old Testament dating with what we're going to celebrate here about the 16th of April, by the way. That's when Passover is, quote, celebrated, unquote. Okay? In that time frame this year. So you would count the 50 days from there, and then that's when the Feast of Weeks would take place. Seventh Sabbath, day after the Sabbath. After the seventh Sabbath, which is what day of the week again? So Pentecost was always on what day? And the Feast of First Fruits, where you wave the barley, was always on what day? First day of the week. Sunday. First day of the week for Sunday. So you see why it's called the Lord's Day? See? So when he came out, that's not a Lord's Day. So Pentecost is when the Feast of Weeks would be celebrated. One single day as a high day. It's required under law in Exodus 23. Would be one of the days that the Israelites were to present themselves before God, wherever that would be. In the wilderness, it was at the tabernacle. When the temple was built, it was at the temple in Jerusalem. Present themselves there. And so we can go through Acts 1 and 2 and all the stuff having to do with the day of Pentecost, and we can see why all the Jews were there. Now, many of us go through that process when we're teaching people, right, about the gospel when it was first proclaimed, okay? And we go and tell them about the feast days, at least I do, so they know why the Jews are all there. Most people have no clue why all the Jews are in this temple. They really don't nowadays, brethren. They really don't. So you have to go back and do that, prove why they're there, okay? Now, Feast of Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then they traveled and ended up at Mount Sinai, and they received the law. The Jewish mind and the Jewish teachers believe that the law was given at the time of Pentecost, what we call Pentecost, at the Feast of Weeks. They believe, reading Exodus 19 and 20, and I think there's some validity to that. I can't absolutely 100% prove it. I cannot. But you read that, and it appears with the time frame and everything that they would have showed up at Mount Sinai and Moses would have received the law and the events associated with the law around the time of Pentecost. Okay? So, here's what they think. The Old Covenant was initiated with the spreading of the blood under Passover. Amen? When was it implemented? They say with the giving of the law. What would have correlated to the Feast of Weeks, what we call Pentecost, because of what we understand in the New Testament. So they believe that that's when the Old Covenant was made and announced to the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, fast forward about 1,500 years or so, day of Pentecost, 30 A.D., and everything happens there. The new covenant is announced for the first time, isn't it? And the protocols, we'll call it, in reference to being a part of that new covenant and receiving forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit and all that, right? When did it happen? Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, right? New covenant. When was it actually initiated, begun? Well, all through the gospel accounts, Jesus was talking about it. But what did he say particularly on the night of Passover? This is the new covenant in my blood, right? Eat this bread, drink this blood, drink this vine, fruit of the vine, correct? When did he actually initiate it? He began it on Passover night, didn't he? Just like kind of the way the Old Testament covenant with the nation of Israel was begun. All right? And when was it fully realized? Pentecost. Kind of like when it was fully realized for the Old Testament nation of Israel. See? And I find it interesting. In the New Testament, the Old Covenant is called what? A ministry of? Thank you. That's exactly what I was hoping you'd say. When Moses came down off the mountain, they were party and hardy in the camp, weren't they? He smashed the deals, and he got the boys from the tribe of Levi to join him, and they went back to the camp, and all the idolatrous people that were refusing to quit doing the idolatrous things, they went back to the camp, and they slayed how many? Anybody remember? 3,000 men. Ministry of death, 3,000 die. Day of Pentecost. The announcement is made. New covenant. And 3,000 dead people came alive under the new covenant. Does that just make the hair on your neck go, ooh? Pretty interesting, isn't it? So little things are always fun to see in the scripture. And any closing comments? Mr. Schaefer.
Sure. So just a couple of things, and you did a great job on your sheet that I just noticed. On the feasts, there's a couple of very important distinctions. For instance, Passover is always the 14th of a month. But on the other ones that you very rightly and correctly pointed out, and I didn't catch it till today, which would have helped me earlier had I realized it.
It was the day of the week.
Right. The other one, the offering of first fruits and the feast of weeks, etc., you say first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? It's always the same day. It's always Sunday.
In our way of...
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And in the case of the 14th and the 15th, whatever, today is the 26th, that's a Sunday. Well... Sunday isn't always on the 26th, nor is the 26th always a Sunday. And so the importance to understand is that when they're talking about a day of the week, it doesn't have to be the same day of the week.
That's correct. Okay.
So I'm hoping that that helps.
Yeah, I think it did. Okay, guys, thanks. We're over a few minutes. We'll close. We'll break.